I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode of Football Ramble is supported by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. Squarespace offers free domain names, all the style options you need to create a unique website for you or your business, as well as 24/7 support. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, go to squarespace.com/footballramble and simply enter offer code RAMBLE11.
Reconciliation over retribution, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name is Marcus, and I'm going to do the Ramble Register. Pete Donaldson.
Hello.
Luke Moore.
All right.
And Jim Campbell.
Present.
Oh, yes. Three's
aren't
company.
Aren't we?
But four's a ramble, Pete.
Lucky.
Got nothing to do with
good
that.
To see you as well, mate.
It's one interpretation of his presence. Now, it is genuinely good to have you back, Jim.
It's nice to be back.
Former Burton Albion goalkeeper Stuart Tomlinson, after retiring from football due to a knee ligament injury in July, is attempting to start a new career in the WWE. You like a bit of the WWE, Jim.
It's a bold move, isn't it? Good luck to him.
So after an injury.
Yeah, his knee's not good enough for football, but it is good enough for wrestling.
Did he watch The Wrestler?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if you could choose a tag team from the world of football, who would you go for, Pete?
I'd go for like a tag team involving maybe just two of the footballers who've been caught smoking.
Okay. Oh,
yeah. Cantrell, Ashley Cole.
Yeah, Rooney,
Jack
Rooney.
Wilshere.
Wayne Rooney, Wilshere, just all kind of like in a kind of like a big legion of football just wheezing around.
What would they be called?
The Tabby Boys.
The Snouters.
The Snouters.
Both very old school names. Yeah. I like that.
And they could have like things
wrestle
on there.
Fags.
It wouldn't work in America, though.
Yeah. No,
they could have. Well, it would in a different way.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it would be horrible in them.
They could have like health warnings on their leotards.
Yeah, exactly. Or they could have like tattoos of bad lungs on their own lungs.
Yeah,
and they could have long moustaches like that man who's got that terrible throat problem.
Their tagline could be: "Smoking doesn't kill, but we do."
Yeah,
seriously, smoking does.
No, smoking does kill, and so do we.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That works. Yeah,
vape if you can.
and we won't. But okay, the smokers.
Strong start.
You know.
Is it a strong start?
It's a gimmick, isn't it? It works. Yeah. It's a very niche gimmick, but you know, they're running out of ideas.
So. Yeah, they're just wheezing around the ring.
It's a start, and every ramble needs a start.
Yeah.
And we'll take it. Luke, what have you got?
I've gone up for a bit of a different angle. I've gone for the Bender brothers.
Oh, yes.
Right. Lars and Sven Bender.
Yeah.
The Bender brothers would be...
That'd be fine in America, though.
For me, they'd be like the sort of new Bushwhackers.
Yeah, okay.
And the twins are actually twins. So, I mean, there'd be all sorts of potential for special moves.
Yeah, exactly. And one of them could be injured but roll out of the ring when someone's not looking, the other one comes in. It's like, whoa,
they could do that thing where tag teams do sometimes where one of them turns to a heel and they have a fight with each other.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be wicked.
Be good.
Mine's a good
because one of them, I think it's Lars. I might be getting this wrong, but I think Lars has got quite a few more Germany caps than Sven.
I think that's right.
So there's a narrative there. Maybe Sven could get resentful.
Either way, it's an aluminium chair over the back, isn't it? Really,
exactly. All roads lead to it in wrestling. So my answer is the Bender brothers.
Excellent, Jim.
And there's their name as well. It's
easy, isn't it?
You just let the crowd do their homophobic best.
But I would change it to Super Bender Bros.
Yeah.
They could bend iron pipes over their heads.
Indeed.
Yeah,
they definitely can. Yeah. Jim?
Well, I'm going to go with a partnership that's already established and is very prolific, and that would be Sturridge and Suarez.
Good.
Purely because, you know, they already work very well as a duo. They'd definitely be heels because Suarez could go around biting everyone.
Yeah.
Although, you know, he'd get away with it in these instances.
Well, and again, the referee's turned his back.
There's a narrative,
And after Suarez has pinned by him, Sturridge could do that dance he does.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so there's a lot of hubris going around. around, and I'm sure we can all think of a narrative where they might fall out, and I think we'll just leave that there.
He'd look good in a cape, Suarez, as well, because he would look a bit vampiric.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dracula, yeah. You could do a Ted Hankey, darts fans, and come in throwing little rubber bats into the audience with a cape. Yeah. That'd be wicked. Yeah.
Darts fans, yeah. All of you.
It's Paul Bearer couldn't get it. Paul Bearer died, didn't he?
Paul Bearer died, yeah. Didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I remember him.
Sadly, yeah.
He couldn't be his manager.
I would go for more natural disasters kind of
vibe,
you know, sort of earthquake, typhoon, for those who remember those two very large wrestlers.
Yeah.
I'd like Big Nev.
Yeah.
Big Nev, get him involved. And I thought, who would be the other one? And I thought, it's not good enough to say, like, someone, you know, just a big fat footballer. I thought, who would really get into the spirit of it? Big Chuck Blazer.
Yeah. Yes, I
think
that.
Chuck Blazer might be a manager, though.
No name change needed.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Chuck Blazer.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I thought
Chuckle Blazer.
Well, yeah. I originally thought Blazer and Jack Warner, and Jack Warner could do like a sort of a Million Dollar Man kind of approach.
Nice. I would spit on for you. That's a special move.
For anybody who remembers the WWF, as it was called in the late 80s.
That's all I remember, to be clear. I have no knowledge post 93 Royal Rumble.
Yeah. Blazer and Big Nev. I think Luke's got the points.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone.
With a fat theme, you could have gone with Jamie Pollock and Neil Shipperley, because there's a lot of older footballers just get ridiculously massive.
But big Chuck Blazer, though.
Oh, absolutely. But,
Chuck Blazer, as Jim says, could be their manager. Now,
that is
nicely,
true.
Yeah,
yeah. He'd certainly sort out a few.
Have they got like a pet parrot, Chuck Blazer?
Probably. That sounds very wrestling.
Let's say he has. Like Coco Beware.
Why not?
Now you're talking. Yeah. There's people under the age of about 28 going, what the hell's going on?
Not listening to this anymore.
No. Well, let's go to the Premier League.
Dion Dublin could be Jake the Snake.
Yeah. Enjoyable. Enjoyable.
Premier League.
Or should I say magnificent in the words of Sir Alex Ferguson?
a great win for Crystal Palace once again.
Crystal Palace.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Crystal penis. Yeah. What? No.
Big glass dildo.
Stop it.
Welcome back, Jim.
Cardiff City. Tony Pulis.
Pubis.
Oh, dear.
Can we keep this up for an hour?
It's at these sort of times, inwardly, I think, I'm 33 years old.
Tony Pulis gets another win.
Skin, penis.
Well, that's just ridiculous behaviour, Peter. Sorry about that, listeners.
Sorry about that.
Palace, he's turned their fortunes round, has he not?
They look a different team.
They look a different team. Yeah. He's gone for a more sort of 4-4-2. I think they played sort of 4-2-3-1 before. Shamak is scoring, Jim.
Yeah, Shamak, it was a lovely goal that he scored, wasn't it? The way it curled into the net made you go, he did that on purpose and everything. Yeah. You didn't get that from him at Arsenal in the latter days there, or indeed when he was at West Ham.
Pulis sort of came out and sort of said, he needs to be scoring more goals, he needs to turn himself into a bit of a striker. He's kind of doing that.
You can't argue with it.
Had nobody told him before.
Yeah, you're supposed to be scoring goals. I thought it was a hair gel dispenser.
I read a stat recently, a few rounds of games ago, that he was the striker who'd made like the most tackles in the Premier League or something crazy like that. So obviously he has been putting the work in and it's starting to pay off. So
he's been putting the tackles in.
He looks a different player. I mean,
he does.
I didn't see the whole game, but I saw the highlights and he was everywhere, really.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't scoring goals for Bordeaux by mistake, was he?
No, indeed. But I think if you're a Premier League team and you look at the strikers that players had against Cardiff, which was Cameron Jerome with Shamak sort of just behind him, you wouldn't be that bothered about that. But, I mean, maybe, you know, the conceptions are slowly being proven wrong, and you should be, because they both got goals. Shamak's goal, as you said, was a pretty elegant finish, and he really deserved it. And they look a much, much more different. I don't think they've conceded very few goals in their last few games, anyway.
They just seem to lack organisation and all the basics, and he's gone in there, and he talked about authority and hard work and bringing it into the setup.
I mean, if there's anyone who's going to give you that, it's Pulis.
Yeah, you just wonder what... It's so funny, isn't it? It just, without actually doing so, just gives you a tiny little eye into the world of managing a football club and actually the operations at a football club, because... you know what it's like if you're working in a what we might call a regular job, and your boss is a bit of a knob and is a bit harsh and blah blah blah, and you turn up and you're unmotivated and you don't really care, and then suddenly somebody comes in and starts you know, encouraging you and all that sort of stuff. It makes the world a difference. And I suppose football isn't any different.
No, I think Pulis is... I mean, you also got the added bonus that for a manager that the players are all of a sudden thinking, well, I need to keep hold of my contract.
Sure, I don't think Pulis is some sort of revolutionary, brilliant bloke.
He's obviously got inside with Shamak's head, for sure. Yeah. Just checking their results, actually. They've conceded one goal in their last five league games. I mean, it's a great platform to build on. Mm. And it's interesting how the narratives work around football in the Premier League in this country, with the media and stuff. Because if you were asked about it blind, without being able to see the table or anything, going into last weekend's games, if you followed the media narrative, you'd be thinking, well, Cardiff are having a good start. They've done well because they've had quite a few sort of showpiece wins.
That's right. Yeah.
And you'd say, well, Palace are doomed because that's what everyone's saying. Well, Palace are one point behind Cardiff now.
Cardiff just aren't scoring enough goals, and then they're not being... I think Mackay admitted at the weekend they just need to be a hell of a lot more clinical in front of goal. I think they drew 2-2 against Man United, sneaked a 1-0. But other than that, I think they've barely scored in the last 2 months.
They've scored 11 goals this season, which I think is the second worst goalscoring record behind Palace. But Palace are obviously resurgent. So.
Yeah. So, I'd be a little concerned.
As we've seen so often, though, with promoted teams, it takes them a while to find their stride. It's kind of the last third of the season. They probably will start scoring more goals, and it clicks into gear a little bit. And that's when you get... It's really fun relegation battles that we all love.
Yeah. Three goals in their last seven league games, apparently, Carter. Obviously not ideal, is it?
Not good.
But it's...
Palace go to United. No, Palace go to Chelsea, don't they, this weekend? So that's obviously a bit difficult.
But well done to Pulis going in there. And I mean, as you say, people may be playing for places a little bit. But perhaps, you know, Holloway, he did say he'd lost the dressing room, which clearly he had, and Pulis is... head-butted it back into all, quite frankly. I don't know. Holloway's a bit of a scary man, I suppose. But more in a kind of you don't know what he would do.
Pulis,
you know what he'll do.
If Holloway got a stick of butter out of his pocket, just loose, you wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
He could do anything.
I can't imagine him having a huge air of authority. Flailing butter around as he supposedly does.
Do you think Pulis was quite possibly the hardest manager in the league? Sorry. Manager, not man.
Well, we've debated this before, haven't
many
we?
Years
I guess
ago.
It's him, Allardyce and Moyes are the big three.
Moyes is quite terrifying.
I think Moyes is broken at the moment. I think there's a time to take him on, it's now.
I think Beg Malky.
Good shout. Yeah. Well, let's move away from debating that, because no doubt people will tweet in with their own ones. And Stoke City, another hard manager, Mark Hughes. He got a good win against Chelsea. I mean, you chaps scorned the appointment of Mark Hughes at Stoke. I said it was a good idea.
They've won two games in the last 10. In the league. Yeah. One of them was against Chelsea, and they should get credit for that. It's a good win for them.
Have you bragged before, Marcus?
It's a great winning goal.
Not on this show, particular.
It was a great winning goal, but realistically, they're still only 3 or 4 points off relegation still. It's not as though they're not putting up any trees.
That is true.
But they are. I mean, let's be honest, though. Let's be fair here. They are playing a slightly different type of football. There's a new manager come in trying to implement his own style. He hasn't had that much time to do that. So I don't think we should be completely critical of Hughes. He's done the right job.
To be fair as well, I'm sure some of those players are pulling up trees to terrify the local villagers.
Stephen Ireland.
Yeah. Actually, Stephen Ireland's resurgent, isn't it? It's great to see him
playing. Lovely little girl.
Playing properly again.
That's
like
right.
He's got his focus back.
Crouch on the score sheet as well.
His best season for Man City was under Hughes.
Yeah.
So they obviously get on well.
That's an excellent point. Mm-hmm.
But that was a season where he was renowned for putting in an almost military level of training, even in his pre-season, even in his break.
I thought that was the season after he started doing that, and he was so knackered by the time the season started, he couldn't get the team.
Maybe he could only do one of them every couple of years.
Yeah.
What about Asaidi's goal in the last minute?
Lovely.
Even Mourinho liked it.
Yeah, he did a couple of claps.
And a bit of a slap on the back for him as well.
Yeah. Nice to see Schürrle back in Chelsea's side. Scored
second goal.
Schürrle
great,
got a perler in the second one.
Went into the net like a laser, according to Match of the Day.
Is that right?
That's what they said.
Lasers always going in nets.
Yeah.
But Chelsea's strikers are not having the best of times, are they?
No.
And Schumacher scored more goals than any other Chelsea striker in the league.
It's hard to feel any sort of sympathy towards Chelsea for the goal scorer, because they've spent enough money on them.
Yeah.
And they've loaned out enough and got rid of enough.
They've loaned out Lukaku as well. I mean, can they bring him back in January? I'm sure they can do what they want.
I'm not sure.
I wonder if they will.
But Mourinho's all but admitted that he's actually done that on purpose to take more points off their rivals. He's basically all but admitted that he sent Lukaku. Well, Lukaku because he wanted to go on. I think it was a compromise where Lukaku went on loan rather than left because he was fed up and not playing. Mm. So Mourinho, I think, has said with a sort of glint in his eye that he's happy Lukaku's gone to Everton because he's got the ability to take points off other rival teams. You know,
that's the sort of thing you say when it goes right.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
He
needs him in his own backyard. He doesn't need him. He needs him playing for him.
But I do quite like that, though.
That's quite funny.
Is that sort of tactics 2.0? You're actually using other teams.
Yeah, but you've got to take advantage of that when you're, you know.
It doesn't matter.
It's like, you fucked everything up. Have I?
Yeah. that is parasitic, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
But I mean, it's no good getting Lukaku to take points from other teams if you're going to lose.
You're not going to get any yourself.
Yeah, it's not going to work, is it? But I think hasn't there been talk that Eto'o is going to go to MLS?
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
That doesn't surprise you. I think Eto'o, you know, we all remember what a fabulous player he was, but he
likes the money now.
Not quite there.
He's had spells, hasn't he? So
you could say the same with Torres.
True.
Is Bar good enough to play in that Chelsea side?
It certainly doesn't look like it, does it?
I think Eto'o's suffered from coming from a league where the standards not quite as high. Mm. Yeah. Found it difficult to sort of increase his level of performance as he gets older. And obviously, if what's being reported is true, he obviously thinks, well, this is it for me, really.
I mean, it's a shame because we all love Samuel Eto'o. I think he's a fantastic player. And actually, when he first came over, I thought it was a good signing. And I still think it's not a bad signing. It's certainly a good squad player to have.
I think it would have been a better signing for another team.
Yes,
maybe a little bit further down, who don't demand results there. And
Mourinho would have signed him for another team. This is getting ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah. Where he could play every week, perhaps, and get into the swing of things. It's not going to be easy for him at his age.
He play every week, though? That's another issue, isn't it?
Sounds like a song. we don't know, do we? We don't know. But, I mean, presumably he would throw the rust off and maybe have every chance of increasing his performance level if he was actually getting minutes on the pitch, which he doesn't seem to be getting an awful lot of at the moment.
But a great win for Stoke City. And a decent win for Liverpool at home to West Ham. Liverpool going well. They're up to second, only 5 points behind Arsenal. Luis Suarez has been absolutely magnificent. And last week he scored a haul.
He did.
I'd like to suggest, I mean, I can't think of too many off the top of my head. Is that the greatest haul of all time? You'd be hard pushed to find a better one. I mean, you're hard pushed to find a haul anyway. But all of the goals were absolutely top draw.
He's just magnificent at the moment. He's up there with Ronaldo and Messi. There's a lot of kind of hyperbole going around about that. But I really think he is. He's the standout player in the Premier League. Just magnificent. You know he's going to score. Mm. You just know.
Any type of goal.
It's so rare that you have a player like that.
Yeah, I agree.
Any type of goal from range with his head. One-on-ones, he's got it all. And what I like is that he's obviously been very good before this. We remember him at the World Cup. He was excellent in Holland, and he's been good in previous seasons for Liverpool as well. But it's some of the goals he was scoring, it's almost like he's sort of going, oh, I can't believe this either. Isn't this great, everybody?
you wonder, with one of the goals that that happened against West Ham, it was a deflection off Suarez, wasn't it? And you just think that really sums up the sort of form he's in. Yeah. Everything he hits.
Also, that game as well was very, very
three own
goalie, wasn't it?
Yeah, three own goals. Mm. Kevin Nolan did a Kevin Nolan special.
What on earth is he doing there?
Horrible.
I'm knackered. I want a bath.
I smell.
Sub me off. No, sub me off. No, fine.
Boom. Yeah, told you.
I've subbed myself off for three games.
Yeah. But Christmas coming up. Boom.
Merry fucking Christmas to me. Yeah. Gets his mobile phone out of his sock. I'll be home in a minute.
If he's seen on really grainy footage in a hotel lounge going, I couldn't get sent off for love nor money.
The ref wasn't booking me. I had to do that. The ref wasn't booking me.
Oh, dear. Murky waters there.
On a serious note about Nolan, like, you often wonder about his sort of mindset and his mental toughness and ability at the top level, because he just seems to... Like, remember when he got sent off after like 7 minutes against Millwall and Derby?
Right.
And that's really unhelpful. You can't be going around doing it. I mean, is it going to be three games he'll be banned for?
I thought so.
Well, it was a straight red, so...
Violent conduct, perhaps. So, I mean, or whatever it is.
It was one of those classic, well, if you did that to someone in the street, you know, like...
He just walked up to him and kicked him from behind.
Yeah.
It wasn't a challenge or anything.
No. It would be a really odd thing to see in the street, wouldn't it?
It would.
From Kevin Nolan as well. If anything, it would make it better. Oh, he does it all the time. It's not as bad.
Yeah, actually, this makes sense.
If he did it outside KFC and did the chicken dance...
I'd love it if Jordan Henderson now starts running normally after being kicked like that.
Oh dear. Elsewhere in the Premier League, Fulham got a win. They beat Aston Villa 2-0. Rene Meulensteen's first game in charge. Fulham looking a lot better.
That plan was operated perfectly, wasn't it?
Yeah.
One of the reports was that Martin Yeo actually requested Meulensteen.
Yeah. Really?
There must be pals or something.
Christmas coming up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Again.
What's a payoff, maybe?
Yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it? I mean, little word on Meulensteen's accent.
It's got a weird Scouse sort of hint to it.
Yeah.
It's got a very funny lilt to it. Mm. He speaks much better English than his name suggests he would do.
Yeah, that's right.
His name makes him sound really foreign. Uh-huh. But obviously he's been in England for ages, so he can speak very good English. But he has got a strange Scouse sort of lilt to it. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to pin down.
Always lovely to see. I love that.
I think it's great. Yeah.
Good description.
Dimitar Berbatov's penalty in this game was so languid, it bounced twice before it even went in.
He might as well have blown it in. That was a type of penalty.
If he didn't smoke, he would have done. He's not got a lung.
That's the type of penalty when a team's 7-0 up and they get a penalty in the last minute, just goes, and celebrates. And I thought, that's to make it 2-0 in the first half.
I initially thought he'd put it wide. Yeah, it was right in the corner.
It was.
Mm. And the camera position at Craven Cottage isn't the best, so it looked like it had gone wide.
Why is Berbatov suddenly caring? Does he want to move? Is he happy that Yol's gone and Mullenstein's in charge?
Is it not just that every now and then he actually does fancy
it? Yeah, true. It's a funny one, isn't it? Because his agent was talking about Berbatov asking for a transfer come January. So
you know what? As we know, Fulham are having a lovely time.
Yeah.
Just in life in general. So they probably want to go on a run of about 10 games where they shore it up a bit, get some points, and then they can just relax again.
I like the idea of a little
cushion in there. Don't go down, but don't aim too high. And you can keep enjoying life at a leisurely pace.
Like the whole week when Martin Yol would go, there's loads of worse teams than us. Don't worry about it. Yeah,
exactly. Yol was the most relaxed manager I've ever seen in the Premier League.
Just packing his...
Really? No, just, genuinely.
Just packing his anus with soil and twigs and just going to hibernate. for a few months.
It's the picture he paints.
I love the idea of Ronnie Mullenstein coming in having his first meeting with the players and like Berbatov standing up and going, Rene, just so you know, we've got a few things we do around here. You know, I don't really want you to upset the apple cart. Yeah. So, well, okay, guys, we're going to start training. Well, it's sort of nap time. Nap time now. Yeah.
They have all had their tixy licks. So.
But I mean, and Yol did say that, when he got sacked. He said, well, I didn't see it coming. I can't really. And I thought, what on earth has happened to you? Yeah. Like, seriously, what you need to do is find out where Sven is and go to him.
Yeah.
That's what you need to
you
do.
You didn't
now.
See it coming. You've lost 6 league games in a row.
I didn't see it coming. It's like a memento. Yeah. Write the league table on your chest.
It's true. It really is.
You can imagine, though, that the training regimes and stuff, like when Mullenstein came in, he must have been like, what is going on here?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, where's John Arisa? He's going to get the crumpets. He'll be back in a minute.
He might not. Sometimes he just doesn't come back.
It's breathtaking, is it? But one thing Mullenstein... And I think that was the thing with Yol. He never said anything for Fulham fans to grasp a hold of. He didn't say, we're sorting this out or anything. It was, no, it's all fine.
Well, I wrote a piece...
It's like Chemical Alley. Yeah.
I wrote a piece about 6 or 9 months ago saying that the reason that Martin Yol... at the time wasn't getting any sort of negative press around him and stuff, it's because he's not the sort of character to start blaming officials or looking like he's under pressure or shouting his mouth off or anything like that. He just, like you say, takes everything in his stride. Yeah. Now, ultimately, that's been the undoing of him. But that is why, in a way, it sort of came from, though, with the sacking thing, because you just imagine him being like, all right, yeah, fine. Well, thanks for the opportunity. You
know what I mean? It's true. Yeah.
You imagine being very much like the first candidate to get voted out of The Apprentice. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, thanks, Sir Alan.
Yeah, I've had a lovely day.
Well, you know what I mean? I only did it for a bit of an adventure,
Yeah, but I mean, managing at the Premier League, you want someone with a bit more of a winning mentality, do you not?
Stop having a go at him.
Okay.
He's a decorated manager. Yeah.
But Mullenstein, one
he's
thing...
He's a decorator. Not a manager.
He should go to Cardiff then. Mullenstein, one of the things Mullenstein said when they played Spurs, they looked a lot better.
I thought they did look better. I thought they were a bit unlucky.
Much better. And he said, even though we've lost tonight, we've got the fans back on side. And that was an important thing. And absolutely. Mm. And they're the kind of noises that the manager of Fulham needs to be making.
He'll get the edges knocked off him. Don't worry about that. When he comes in on fucking Wednesday with training, they've all gone to Thorpe Park. With Joel. Yeah. They're all wearing caps with Martin Yol on the front. Then he'll get the edges knocked off him.
I'm not going to phone ahead. This is Yol Wednesday. There we are. There we are. But good win for Fulham. It was a good win for Newcastle United. They only bloody won at Old Trafford, Petey.
41 years.
Hey.
My entire lifetime and a bit more.
It's 2-for-1 there. There's some sort of deal going on at Old Trafford this season.
Incredible. This is definitely the season to, get the hoodoo off.
Absolutely.
Incredible.
Wipe the hoodoo off on the Old Trafford on the Old Trafford towels.
Do you think there was West Brom fans still at the train station who had just been boozing it up since and the Newcastle fans turned up and was like, seriously, lads.
The away,
all free today.
It's brilliant in here. player. Get in there.
Well, like seeing a cash machine just pay out. Oh, yeah. I didn't put my card in.
I love the idea.
It's like the last days of Rome.
I love the idea of like Newcastle fans coming out of Old Trafford after that game going, oh, I can't believe what has happened here. This used to be rubbish.
Should we go again? Let's go on it again.
Yeah.
can we play next season's match now? Yeah. If we get in the FA Cup, can we play this? You know,
come to ours. We'll do the home match now as well.
Oh, dear. I mean, I was watching a match today, and I don't know who edited that highlights package, but it certainly irked the shit out of me.
First half. Like, there was nothing. Was it a Manchester United attack or something?
Yeah.
And then the next thing, it's just gone 46 minutes. Well, I was like, what?
And it just hurt me because, you know, Newcastle United had a couple of really, really good chances in the first half and the second half. And they just whitewashed them. Manchester United got a bit robbed. And it's just like,
it did come across as that a little bit.
Oh,
like,
fuck, did they?
They can't take 3 points away from your pal.
There's no pictures on the score sheets, as you always say, Luke, or as I always quote you.
I don't remember the last time I said that.
South-biased, isn't it?
Cockney
Mafia.
You know, credit to Pardew. A, he didn't thank Mike Ashley, and B, he had the guts to drop Sean Amiobi. So you know, that's gonna work.
And he had the guts as well not to go and sign any old person. As jokingly said, the squad is fine. You know,
Man United though, not even a consideration. Sure,
that game,
incredible.
That game was really interesting to watch. It was obviously on BT Sport, and I watched it on a legal stream.
So did I. And, BT Sport, I mean, you could give us free packages.
Yeah,
nothing to stop you doing that, is it?
Won't, will they?
No.
They fucking well won't.
Illegal streams.
Yeah. Anyway.
Have you asked?
No. I've got a contact number anyway.
I think you have now.
Get in touch.
To be honest, ringing BT would take so long anyway. It wouldn't be worth it.
I think that pretty much sums it up, mate.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say, watching the game, it was so obvious to everyone, both before, during and after the game, that United were going to get overrun in midfield. They got this midfield problem. And Newcastle played, obviously, Anita, Kabay and Tiote in there, who were all excellent. They had a man over. They had a lot more desire, a lot more movement and sort of work rate. Tiote was an absolute... I mean, Kabay got all the credit, but Tiote was immense. I think I read that Tiote won 100% of his aerial duels, completed 90% of his passes and made the most tackles.
But the most galling thing about Cheick Tiote is he's had, you know, a good two seasons where he's not done that. And he's the past three or four matches, he's been... Imperious. He's been incredible. He's been incredible. But I know for a fact, we already knew that he had that in his locker because he started his Newcastle career like that. Yeah. He was incredible. But it's when he just switches off and just can't seem to keep hold of the ball for more than 2 minutes. But he was brilliant in it.
I guess you know, I thought he was absolutely superb. Yeah. And you know, I just haven't got the...
Well, they haven't got two players... They haven't got two players like that, have they? Tiote and...
Take Rooney at that team, take Carrick at that team, which they did. And obviously Van Persie looked like he might have been not quite fit. They're an ordinary side.
Yeah.
And there's absolutely... I'm happy to stick my neck out on the line. I think I get the impression like a lot of pundits are quite nervous about saying anything about United because they want to write them off. But there's no way they're going to win the league. It just can't happen. If you, to put that into perspective, right, they've got 22 points at the moment. To get the same points total as they got last season, 89 points. Mm. They'll need to win every single game in the league and draw the other one. They'll need to win every single game apart from one and draw the other one to get to 89 points.
Yeah.
Yes, that's how they get up. That's how they get the points total they got last season. Mm. Absolutely no chance it's going to happen.
What's really strange about it, though, is they're still performing very well in Europe. So they get a big win in the Champions League, which looks like a marquee win, and you think, oh, here we go. It's kind of, you know, it's clicking, it's coming together a bit, and then they just stumble again. They can't get any momentum going.
They don't play with any. I also, another great stat about them last weekend is they made the fewest amount of forward passes of any team in the Premier League. And they're just not playing with any sort of verve or
Moyes has just got them playing in this really conservative way that just doesn't suit like those players.
Why would you not take a chance though? If you won them down at home, if you lose 2-0, who cares?
But it just shows how little confidence anyone's got in the team at the moment. You know, you've got people streaming out 5 minutes at Old Trafford for a team, watching
minutes.
A team who
seriously
they're a team that 5 minutes from the end, but like after a team that, you know, they always seem to score a late goal.
That's,
you know,
they've built up
a reputation of doing that, and if you're looking at the stands and you're seeing the crowd leaving, you know, 5-10 minutes before the end of before the final whistle, you're like, well, what are we playing for?
The late goal thing's gone now. Because the only way they used to do that is by keeping the ball so often that everyone would just be knackered on their feet and they would just press. They didn't press at all. And Newcastle didn't let them press.
But it was the wave of Manchester United attacks
after over and over again.
Absolutely, and it was just bound to happen sooner or later. And it's just, it's not happening.
Bloody brilliant. But,
bad luck, United fans. I know Frostport team in League Two. Like me.
I know we've discussed this so many times already this season, but can they sack Moyes? Because it's getting to the point where, you know...
There's no way of it.
No.
But how... Like, are they just going to accept a season of not finishing in a European place? Which is a possibility.
I've read that they've budgeted for a year without Champions League football as part of the transition thing. I don't know if that's true, but I've read that.
And they
are still in the hunt for a top four place.
Just like Newcastle did when they dropped out of the Champions League.
And Portsmouth, actually.
Budgeted with a year without an FA Cup final.
They're only 6 or 7 points off of fourth place. And, you know, they are capable, United, of going on these runs with it. I mean, they went... Was it like 7 or 8 games without losing a league game in a row? So they can do that.
Absolutely. And they've shown moments. I mean, the first game of the season, the way to Swansea was great. You know, way to Bayer Leverkusen. They have performances in them. Mm. I think they're probably better away from home. I don't know statistically if they are.
Be interesting what they do in the summer. In January.
A lot of injuries.
What about Kagawa? I missed the match because he ate too much and needed to have his
stomach
pumped.
Did that actually happen? I thought that was a joke.
I don't know.
Yeah, he's quoted as saying that he thinks he ate too much.
Can see that happening at Fulham.
Yeah. Hey! He's visiting Fulham.
Lovely.
I didn't know that was true. I thought that was a joke.
I wouldn't have known that was possible, except my old housemate in a university did it once.
Well, Brian Harvey. We all know Brian Harvey. Yeah.
I have yet to make spuds.
So he ate too much out of his stomach pump?
Yeah, young French lad. He just ate too much. He used to do backflips. That's all I've got on him.
Okay.
While
he ate? Because that might have been that.
That would be very upset.
Twisted stomach. But yeah, the Kagawa thing. When I saw that it had happened, just very briefly, I tried to do some research into it. There's just no more information other than that he ate too much and had to have his stomach pumped.
What would you want to know?
I want everything. I want to know everything he ate. I want to know where he was.
You want to have a go yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Do it in the company of a responsible adult, though, Jim. Just in case you do need to be pumped.
The reason I'm sort of sceptical about it, and I presumed it was a joke, it's because to me, and I'm not someone who's had my stomach pumped before, as you can probably tell,
pumped stuff in.
Yeah. He was declared fit for the Champions League this week. So I don't understand. I mean,
is that not just a sign that their ambitions have fallen?
What, they're getting a man off of a hospital bed to play a football game?
Why can't he just...
Well, in this midfield, he'd probably be fine.
How does it work with the stomach pump? You just get it down and you're off again, are you? Is that
never had one.
Well, what's wrong with just fingers down the throat? I don't understand. Why would you go down the way of sort of going, I need to go to hospital now?
He's bloody pampered football, isn't it, Pete?
I refute too posh to vom.
Pete, I love the theory behind that, but in the modern day of the modern footballer, they are wrapped in cotton wool. You say, what's wrong with fingers down the throat?
But can't you just ring up, like, you know, the football liaison officer and go, I've eaten too much cake?
He's there with his pump.
I imagine what's happened is he said, I feel sick, I don't feel very well, and they go, we're going to get you checked out then.
The doctor's went, you are a big fatty.
Yeah.
You've eaten too much food that was poisoned.
You've done a Harvey. Yeah. No, Brian Harvey, get yourself down the A&E.
But just briefly going back to Newcastle, they're flying high 7th, just 4 points off 2nd, challenging for Champions League. The Newcastle players, quite fittingly, went on their Christmas fancy dress bash after the match. Semi was dressed as a Ninja Turtle, of course. Stephen Taylor was the Joker. There was another as Chewbacca.
Chewbacca?
Chewbacca.
Subarca.
Subarca. Both selectors, Craig David, the Grinch, Batman, Spider-Man, and a pirate.
The thing I don't like about the Steve Taylor thing...
I think Shawler was the pirate, I think, wasn't he?
Was he?
I think somebody sent me a picture of him in pirate garb.
I don't know what Stephen Taylor's doing, because he thought, I'm going to go as a Joker from Batman, because that's quite cool. I don't like people who take fancy dress too serious.
Yeah.
Mm. It's annoying. I mean, it's the last refuge of the creatively bereft anyway, a fancy dress party. Mm. But if you are going to go fancy dress, don't do like a serious thing. It's like doing karaoke and singing like a really big like Celine Dion number.
Yeah.
Don't take it too serious.
Yeah, you're right.
And he's gone, he's thought to himself, if I go as a Joker from the Batman films, I'll look really cool. And that's not the point of fancy dress. Mm, do you know what I mean?
True.
Why so serious?
Why
such a high line?
I think you can go niche. I once did a gig where there was a stag do in where all of them were dressed as Dog the Bounty Hunter's wife.
That is very niche.
So niche.
I'm so aroused.
The two best fancy dress I've seen one party where all the blokes at the girls' Partridge and all the girls at the girls' Lynn.
Nice.
Very good.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and I also saw a bunch of fancy dress people on New Year's Eve once in London who had all gone as tube stations.
Oh, yeah.
And there was one that I couldn't work out what she was dressed as, and she looked to me just like Amy Winehouse.
Hi Barnett.
No,
there
yeah.
you go, see.
Yeah.
Not Cock Fosters.
No, I don't.
Jesus, Marcus.
Marcus Speller.
Sorry.
Marcus Speller.
I can, I've had me one.
That's your one.
That's your one of the season.
Arsenal. They drew 1-1 with Everton.
That'll be an odd one. That'll be an odd tube stop.
Arsenal, they drew 1-1 at home. Drop points, Jim.
Yeah, they are drop points. It's a magnificent game, though, isn't it? I think it's
excellent. Really enjoyable.
The way Everton played, they deserved a point. They certainly did. And Giroud's like smacking of the crossbar at the end was it's such a shame it didn't go in. But yeah, Everton, they were just great.
They were. They're playing great
on us for a time. They really did. But
Ross Barkley.
What I was really impressed by with Arsenal, despite the fact that we didn't win, was how in the past we've struggled against strikers like Romelu Lukaku, and it was clearly getting him the ball a lot and getting him involved was part of the game plan. But Koscielny just shackled him like a raptor.
Arsenal look very good at the back this
year. Yeah, they really do. That problem is gone. I mean, obviously, if there's an injury to Mertesacker or Koscielny, that becomes a problem. It's particularly if it's Mertesacker, because Koscielny and Vermaelen are quite similar.
I think they've got a system now. They've set up, and if it was, I assume, Vermaelen to come in, you think, actually, you go in and he'll know what to do.
Well, absolutely, but Vermaelen, he roams forward a lot, doesn't he? So it's been a problem in the past. But that said, at Old Trafford, he was very good. So.
I thought it was a great game. I thought Arsenal or Wenger struggled against Martinez's size in the past. I think Martinez has got Wenger's number to a certain extent. It's not very often you see Wenger making three substitutions at once.
No, absolutely. Changing his entire midfield.
In fact, last time we did that was against the Martinez side.
Oh, right.
Against Wigan. I thought Flamini should have played. They looked better when he came on.
Could have done with Flamini having a go on Barkley, really.
He will still be running around that pitch screaming now.
Yeah, I know, yeah, absolutely. He absolutely loves it, Flamini. He's a great asset to them. I think that it was one of those things where when Arsenal scored, I thought, do you know what? That is a title-winning goal. You come through those sort of games and scrape a 1-0. That's a sign of a title.
That's really, really good finish as well, because it was slightly behind Ozil and he just flicked that in like it was nothing. It was a brilliant finish.
I think that was the shame for Arsenal. The fact that they did, as you absolutely and rightly say, Luke, that to get a goal of that nature in such a game, you thought, wow, hang on, if they can win this game. And
especially given the first half hour, they were poor Arsenal. They couldn't put a pass together. It's
best team we've faced.
But they didn't lose the game. It's kind of disappointing. Well, they lost against Manchester City, didn't they, at the Etihad in the league, and it's the only one.
Well, no, Old Trafford. Oh, so you're talking about Everton, sorry.
Yeah. So it's kind of, I just sort of think, imagine if they hadn't played Man City at the Etihad yet. It would be like, they're undefeated. They could go on.
Yeah.
And they could go on, like,
totally.
The Invincibles.
And Arsenal have got to go there on the weekend.
That's after a very tough away trip to Napoli.
Yeah.
And then there's Chelsea to follow as well. So, I mean, we were talking a little while ago about this run of games Arsenal had to really test their credentials. They've come through that, still 5 points ahead in the league. And this is another one. It doesn't get any easier. And then there's Spurs in the FA Cup as well.
Well, not only that, I mean, the games at the weekend were great for Arsenal because...
Yeah, the results went our way.
Everton, by their very nature, because they played Arsenal, drew. Chelsea lost the game. You know, Man United lost again.
City drew.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think that...
But you can't rely on that, can you? You've got to...
No, but I mean, absolutely not. But, Jim, it's obvious that if you drop a point, a couple of points at home, and everyone else drops points, you're laughing. It's a get-out-of-jail-free card sort of thing, isn't it? But... they've got a 5-point lead at the top, you know, and these games are ticking along quite. And once we get through the Christmas period, we have a much clearer picture of where the league is and where Arsenal are.
If you lose to City and Chelsea, which isn't unfeasible because City's away and they're at home, they're probably they're brilliant at home. They really are phenomenal. And, you know, Wenger's never beaten a Mourinho side. So they could lose both games feasibly, even though they're playing so well.
Very different picture.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that fragility and that lack of confidence is gone. You know that Arsenal feel that they can win games now. And they just, you know, at their best, they're back to just flying into a game, just dominating from the first second. And that's what they need to do in these two big games.
They could do that against Everton, though.
Well, exactly. Yeah, that's what they need to. They need to get their rhythm back.
I thought Barkley was excellent. I do think that people will go a little bit over the top. He's obviously got the ability, and he was very good against Everton. I've seen him play poorly this season. I've seen him get dragged against Villa. Was it? He was anonymous. Mm-hmm. At his age, you'd expect that to a certain extent.
Yeah, of course.
But if he can play games consistently between now and the summer, just shoo him for the World Cup squad because he needs to play. That we need those sort of players in the team. The players that can sort of play in those little pockets and turn defence to attack quite quickly and be intelligent with his movement, you know, that sort of thing.
We'll perhaps talk about international football just in a little bit, Lukey.
I bloody well hope so.
So, yes, Premier League. We've got to go to the Championship as well, because Derby County beat Blackpool 5-1. You know, Blackpool have done okay this season.
Went 1-0 down as well.
Did you go 1-0 down? Steve McLaren.
Flying.
Big McClazza. He's been in charge for 9 games. He's won 7 of them.
Yeah, that's great.
He's drawn one, they lost one, which was away to QPR. Before he took over, they just won three league games. McLaren's having a wonderful time.
They've won the last five in the league.
Future England manager?
Well, past England manager? That's definite.
Could he be the first man to in fact, would he be the first man? I don't know. He's not going to manage England again, I don't think. But a brilliant,
Let's talk about Blackpool, though.
They had their seventh and eighth red cards of the season in that game.
Five red cards in two games. Paul Ince, I was asked afterwards what the reason was for such a poor disciplinary record at his club.
And he headbutted the interviewer.
You know what he actually said? Bad officiating.
Is that?
Oh, wow.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the officials can now say they've sent off a couple of Paul Ince's players.
Yeah. I would say the first red card in the game against Derby was very harsh. The second one was nailed on two yellows. There's nothing you can say about that.
Yeah,
they had three set off the week before.
Yeah, well done, Steve McLaren. The young lad Hughes looks decent there. There's talk of a big move for him.
But they fell to pieces, Blackpool. They really did. I mean, they lost their discipline. They lost all sense of perspective. They fell to pieces. And given that they're up there challenging, I think Derby went above them with that win.
Yeah, Derby are up to fourth, maybe.
Yeah, fourth, yeah.
So, a remarkable turn of events there for County. Karanka isn't faring too well at Middlesbrough. They lie 18th.
He's only been there four games, though.
True. And Burnley, of course, they went top. On goal difference with a 1-0 win. Sean Dyche, I mean, he's not been managing that long. He was at Watford for a season, did well there. So,
well, it's great for Burnley because they went five games without a win a while back and they're still top of the league. Mm. So, I mean, I'd love it if they pit QPR. I would love it. Because as you say, Marcus, Derby, McLaren's performing great things with Derby. So there's only two automatic positions. I'd love it if QPR missed out. No offence to QPR, I just don't like Redknapp.
And you say about Middlesbrough, kind of, they're not doing that well. I mean, they were nearly winning against Birmingham and they just scored in the last minute. It's like,
they were
a disaster.
Yeah.
That's true. Just before we get on to the juicy stuff, look, Portsmouth, Richie Barker in charge, first team duty, Steve Coppell.
Yeah, the manager. I mean, it was pretty clear that they were going to get Barker when he left. Well, he was fired from Crawley, I think. But I mean, it was potentially a great little combo. I mean, Barker got Berry promoted, I think, before he was at Crawley, and Coppell. But providing Coppell sticks around, he could be good. But you know what he's like. He does tend to go. I mean, to be fair to him, he was at Reading for quite a long time, but he's nipped away from clubs within a couple of months before, hasn't he? City he left after about six days or something. So hopefully he sticks around a bit longer than that. But yeah, potentially it could be good. I mean, Portsmouth are massively underachieving at the moment, so there's no reason they can't improve.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time to talk about the World Bloody Cup,
which is its official name.
TM.
Yeah.
The World Cup draw's happened. You all know it has.
It's
Stop pretending you haven't.
A bit real.
My giddy aunt, the draw, it only cost 5.2 million. Pounds.
Bargain.
They don't want another 1982 debacle.
Yeah. Or 86, I think it was.
Was it?
Yeah.
That was World Cup in 82?
It was in Spain.
I thought it was 82.
What, when they were going to have it in Colombia?
No, when they muffed it up.
The draw.
Kevin King was laughing and they put Scotland in twice or something and it all went a bit...
Oh, right. I didn't know that.
I think Barry Davies was on the phone going, I don't know what's going on. Help.
Are you not Scotland thinking of the Brit Awards with Mick Fleetwood and Sam Fox?
I think he is.
I'm thinking of everything I've ever presented.
It's another one for the younger listeners, isn't it? They put Scotland in there twice, they still didn't get out of the group.
Not a contrast to the previous group.
They're playing two groups.
The machine crushed one of the balls and it's just a disaster. Kevin King has gone just laughing in the background. There's like a little kind of vision in vision.
Just happy it's not happening to him for once.
Before a lightning rig fell on his head. Greg Dyke's there just as a throw across the throat.
Yeah. Oh, that was magnificent.
Greg Dyke. The groups have been announced. You will know that. I mean, if there was a warm ball... Might I suggest it was France?
Yes, you may.
Platini.
You may.
This is an egg. This is a one.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Platini. I forgot to tell you, the egg is France. The egg is France.
Well, it's Brazil up against Cameroon, Croatia and Mexico. Brazil v Croatia. I think it's a decent start.
Yeah.
Decent start to the tournament. I did...
It's diverse. It's what you want.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. and, of course, they played each other in 2000.
Would have been Brazil-Iceland.
That would have been wicked.
That would have been an absolute murder.
Imagine it.
That would have been a murder.
Cold versus hot. like a Sensodyne advert.
Yeah, not bad.
That's what it'd be called, the Sensodyne Derby.
I think Group B, possibly with Group G, are the hardest groups.
Spain, I don't think there's a group of death
such. There's a lot of deaths. There's a lot of deaths. Group B, Spain, Netherlands, Chile and Australia. I'm because we would obviously have been in place of Netherlands if we'd have been in that one. Yeah. I'd have been worried there.
Yeah, that's difficult.
And then Germany, Ghana, Portugal, United States. That would have been very tricky. I think England are in a tough one. Don't be
of course.
I mean, and the thing that...
But England are in a tough group wherever they are because they're England.
Yeah, that's very true, Jim. That's very true.
You could make an argument that there are two groups that would have been noticeably easier.
Group E?
And I'm not suggesting you definitely want that anyway, which I'll come on to in a minute.
Of course.
But E is definitely one of them, and H is probably the other. Because if you went in there instead of Russia, and got South Korea, Algeria and Belgium, I think Belgium are overrated. I'd be pretty reasonable. I'd be reasonably happy with that. But as Jim's just touched on, I mean, we are England, so I mean, it's going to be tough. But our group, I mean, everyone seems to have gone overboard about our group. I think really, if you look at it rationally, you've got
well, that is a problem for the press, though, isn't it?
Well,
to be fair, Euro 2012, everyone was pretty rational. Everyone, you know, we didn't have the normal hype, and I think that's carried over a little bit. It's not.
We lost our manager though before that.
Yeah, of course, but we're not the same. No one anywhere is saying that you know we can win this.
No. But I think it's gone too far the other way.
I think people being negatively over the top in a negative way is what I mean. What I was going to say was if anyone said to you guys, look, you've got to play Italy at some point in this tournament.
First up.
You take the first game.
Absolutely, because the cliche about them starting slowly does tend to ring true.
And I'd take them 2 a.m. drunk.
Yeah.
Who knows how that match is going to end? I'm going to be pissed.
It really annoys me.
I'm going to be chucking patio furniture through a bar of Italian around the corner.
You do realise it's not going to be 2 a.m. there, Pete.
Or here.
It will be.
It's 11 p.m.
It's 11 p.m. Yeah.
I thought it was 2 a.m. here.
It's been moved forward
to 11 p.m. That's annoyed me a little bit because. It's instead of 9 p.m. local time, it's going to be 6 p.m. and for television rights.
Right.
And they were all like, "Yeah, it won't make any difference to the heat." It will.
Of course, it will.
The sun has less time to bugger off.
Well, maybe they've paid the sun off. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, the newspaper, hopefully.
Well, so the Italy thing, and then we've got Uruguay, who, I mean, they've obviously got players that can destroy England.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
So I saw someone the other day saying, "Yeah, well, they just need Suarez and a keeper, and they'll beat England."
do you not think though that whole kind of Uruguay thing? Yes, Uruguay are a very good side, and of course they can beat England. But do you not think it's the tabloids actually trying to show that they know a little bit about foreign football and are going, "Well, absolutely."
Uruguay. 9 months ago, I think it was about 9 months ago, Uruguay dead and buried in that quarter.
Yeah, they were.
They're out of it. Everyone was saying they're not going to make it. What's going wrong?
Yeah,
and they just about scraped through. And I think they ended up finishing above Venezuela by about 5 points in them. But so what the point is, though, that half of those teams in that World Cup qualifying group for Uruguay are worse than England.
Mm.
Yeah, and Uruguay haven't got an amazing defence or midfield anymore. They've got 2.5 really good strikers. Mm-hmm. I mean, Fallout on his day, although he's getting older. Mm. Suarez and obviously Cavani is excellent. England shouldn't fear Uruguay.
No.
It depends on the type of England that's sharp, of course, and the type of football they play, and whether we can settle on what personnel we're going to use and stuff. And if he shits his pants, loses his nerve, switches to a flat 4-4-2 and plays Lampard and Gerrard in the middle, we'll get pumped.
Yeah.
But there's no reason he will
do that.
I think
he will do that.
And so there's nothing to fear there. And Costa Rica qualified pretty well.
Yeah.
USA were decent. They were the start team in that qualification group. Mm-hmm. Costa Rica have got good players. Mm. We've seen Brian Oviedo come into the Everton title.
And Brian Ruiz can have a
indeed
pull a bit of.
But England, but that falls under the category of if you can't beat them, you shouldn't be there.
Of course.
So you've really got, if you look at it rationally, you've actually got a reasonable group.
I think so. My worry is, and it would be a horrible scenario being an England fan, the thought of England being out after two games and playing a dead rubber in the third. But
an easy group didn't help us in 2010.
You're right. I mean, there were, a different team,
I'm of the opinion you don't want a really hard group for obvious reasons and for the additional reason that mentally you are drained by it.
Yeah.
Jonathan Wilson made a really good point about that earlier in the week. He said that these players will fight tough if they have a really tough group because it's so hard, concentration-wise. Mm. By the time you get through to the second phase, you're shot. Mm. You don't want a really easy one, because like Pete says, they just get complacent. They couldn't get through. They hardly got through that group in last World Cup.
Part of the fun of international football from a supporter's point of view, though, is that it's high risk, high reward.
Yeah.
You would much rather take an unexpected, glorious win over Italy than just kind of sleepwalking through a group of teams that are just less talented than
stumbling through a win against, say, Algeria, which we didn't even manage last time.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know.
No, I think you're right. But talking about the matches themselves, you are right, Luke, saying if you wanted the first game, you'd want Italy. And if you had to play one of those teams in tropical heat, you'd choose Italy again. And for me, that game, from Hodgson's point of view, certainly, I can't talk about Italy because they're not the sort of defensive, cagey side that they perhaps have been in previous tournaments. a point. You play for a point. I don't care how he does it. Play Phil Jones in the centre of the park. Play very zonal, a 4-1-4-1 or 4-4-1-1, whatever you want. You play for a point because you cannot lose that first game. Because if you chase the game against Uruguay, they are a defensive side who hit on the break, and they have phenomenal players going forward. Mm. If you're chasing that game, we saw England when they had to leave the back door open just a little bit against Poland at home in the qualifier. And another day, maybe the Poles would have scored with Lewandowski up front. So as long as you're still in it after the second game, even if you lose to Uruguay, you know, you hopefully then the idea would be to just go at Costa Rica, yeah. Get Townsend on the right, get the ball to him and play a more attacking style with, you know, Rooney and Sturridge up front and all that kind of stuff.
Front three of Townsend, Walcott and Sturridge.
All of them. Get them all on. But I think, but also though, what is in England's favour, whereas Italy have all three games up north, England have two games near Rio, which is their base, and they're the two remaining games.
But which Italy can always also look at the positives from that, though, which is that they have less travel. So,
I'm not too sure about the distances, actually, because I think that is quite a broad... Manaus, I think it's pronounced, is quite far inland to the...
Which one's the crazy humidity? 99%?
Manaus.
Manaus. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's practically water, isn't it? That's practically the same.
Italy will struggle. You wouldn't want Uruguay there.
I don't think it's 99%. I think it's about 80%. And Manaus is actually a town. It's got hotels.
Yeah, the way people is if it was like jungle, trees for goalposts.
Well, all I'm saying is that Paul Scholes, the asthmatic, would not have been at the play. No, he'd drown in his own juice.
Yeah, unless I've grossly misread the situation, he's not coming back out of retirement again.
could do with him.
Yeah.
But do you not think you play for a point, and if you get the point, then you're in good stead?
No, I think it's dangerous to play for a point in any situation.
Do you think? Tropical heat against Italy, the first team.
But they're hardly you know, the quickest players off the break.
I think if you play to win, if you go up and get pegged back, by all means, take a draw. But I think you've got to, I agree with Luke. I think you've got to go out there and try.
No, but I'm saying, like, in the same way you played against France in Euro 2012, when I say play for a point, okay.
You're a negative Nancy, you play a bit
cagey. And England went ahead there and had a couple of chances. I mean, Milner had one where he nearly ran with the goalkeeper. And then just tuck in. Because if you start playing like Townsend and Walcott and all these players, they will just get knackered in that heat.
But there's a balance to be drawn, isn't there? The problem with that, doing what you're saying is, and to use your
stop being negative about my negativity.
Your example is that...
Double
is
negative.
That Hodgson had a few weeks to work with those players.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he had really no choice. Morale was low. I didn't know where they were. There was no... And Hodgson is naturally a more... sort of, I suppose, careful coach anyway. But you can't really, in a World Cup, like Jim says, high risk, high reward. I understand that if you lose your first game and you've got Uruguay second, you're in trouble because you've got to push it. But I've got a friend I work with every day, and he's an Italian guy, and he didn't want England. Mm. I said, did you think Italy will beat England the first game? He said, no. He said, we're terrible at the start of tournaments. We struggle. We have to play our way in. And England are a tough team. I know England have got a difficult group there. I'll just sort of try to debunk that a little bit. But, I mean, it is. There's some good teams in that group. You think Uruguay and Italy want to play England? Of course they don't.
Mm. No, they'd rather
have England, or would they rather have, you know, Russia or someone like Nigeria or something like that? They wouldn't want to play England because they know all about the Premier. They know the individual players that England have got at their disposal. Mm. And they know that, okay, England are a bit of a low ebb at the moment. But if you try and look at it from their point of view, they think they've got good players here. You know, players like Gerrard.
It's not going to be a walkover.
No, exactly.
They're going to have to work very hard.
So I think you go out there and you play to your strengths. And I'm not saying you go all gung-ho. I mean, I have said this in the past, that if England are going to get knocked out of a tournament anyway, I prefer them just to go for it.
Yeah,
I don't care if you lose 4-0 or 4-1 or 4-2. I'd rather you did that than lost 1-0 because you couldn't do anything. Yeah. I'd rather go for it. And I think you set out to win. You set a marker out and you say... And if you go into that Uruguay game knowing you've beaten Italy already, it's going to make Uruguay think twice as well.
Yeah. I mean... If we dare look further beyond the group, if someone says, you know, you'll be in a group and if you come out of that, you'll play Colombia, Ivory Coast, Greece or Japan.
I think
you would, wouldn't you? I mean, Colombia are a very good side, don't get me wrong. But
there could be worse draws.
It could be a hell of a lot worse. I mean, Brazil, presumably... I mean, I think Brazil might just well win this tournament, as I'm sure a lot of you do, but they will play... Spain, Netherlands, Chile or Australia. I mean, no offence to our Australian brothers, but I mean, that's a very tall order for them.
I think the way it works out is that I think if England were to get through, they would likely play Brazil or Spain in the quarters, wouldn't they? Which, I mean, and that's fine.
But we're dreaming.
Get to
quarterfinals.
Yeah, but you know, Uruguay have got a good coach, but I really want to say that before we move on without saying it.
Oh, yeah.
Tabarez is an excellent coach.
He is an excellent coach.
And he could... I mean, he could outthink Hodgson, potentially.
Him pinning his wits against Hodgson is a nicer thought than him pinning his wits against Redknapp,
yeah,
shall we say. Just to remind you all. But the mayor of Manaus, he wasn't best pleased with Roy Hodgson, because Hodgson said he wanted to avoid the humidity. And he said, well, we would also prefer that England doesn't come. It's like, well...
Didn't he say that he preferred a team who plays good football?
He said, yeah, we hope to get a better team and a coach who is more sensible and polite.
Oh, wow.
Hodgson's a very polite man.
Very, very polite man.
But then he
should have had Redknapp. He could have had Redknapp.
Bloody hell. Yeah. He said he's one of the few people in the world who is not curious about the Amazon. It's polite to be able to value what is beautiful, and nothing is more beautiful than Amazon and Manaus.
Yeah, but he's not saying that they don't want to go there because the Amazon's shit, is it?
I didn't think to myself, mate.
I hate frogs and trees and rubber plants.
Yeah. And a million percent humidity.
He moans about Hodgson. He could have had Redknapp, which means he would have got something. He would have been rude to him, and he would have got home that night and found a 38-year-old striker in his spare room. Yeah. You know what I mean? And a bill for $100,000. Yeah, so it could be worse.
Yeah. Fabio Capello's poo-pooed England's chances. He said that due to England's fast-paced nature of the Premier League and the lack of Christmas break, English players will be in physical condition, poor physical condition.
What we need is Jack, 1994, Ireland manager, chucking the water on.
You reckon?
Yeah. Well, I need to get the water in my boys.
Yeah.
Need to get the water to my boys.
That's nearly a good impression. Yeah. It's very weird.
Need to get the water to my boys.
I'd actually disagree with that.
can I get the water to my boys?
I did like...
It's getting more and more strange.
Your dad.
Marcus, can you stop him, please?
There is talk of water breaks, Peter.
Is there?
So don't you worry.
Wow.
You mentioned Belgium, Luke. I did like what Vincent Kompany tweeted. He said, Belgium, Algeria, South Korea, Russia. Interesting but tricky, because there is no hiding from us. Next round is a must. I like that.
Yeah.
It's true. There's a lot of talk about Belgium, and they do need to go through. Asmir Begovic tweeted in response to Bosnia-Herzegovina's opening match against Argentina. You'd think, bloody hell, that's a tasty one for you boys. He's like, buzzing about our draw. Opening game at the Maracanã. Let's look forward to it big time. And I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But that's how everybody should be looking at it. It's the World Cup.
Because most people will be like, oh my goodness, you're playing Argentina in front of a massive crowd. He's like, you're damn right.
That's why I'm doing this. That's why I'm playing football.
That's what my job is.
Big
Phil Scolari said, I hope Chile don't qualify. I'd rather play any of the others. He's talking about Spain and the Netherlands and Australia. He said they're a pain to play against, and they're well-organised, intelligent. It's better to play against European sides. We're ready for whatever happens. I just don't want to play Uruguay.
I can't make your mind up, well, Big Phil. Say,
maybe there's a nod to 1950 there, I don't know, but he's got to sort his...
It must be a 1950 nod.
Could you imagine if Uruguay beat them in the final? Could you? the country
can
would explode.
Happen? I don't think it can happen. I think they might meet in the court.
Yeah.
No, it could happen because there's any possibility of finishing first and second.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
It is a mouth-watering World Cup. The lineup is superb, and for once, as you say, all the groups are tough. Anybody can take points of anybody within reason. I was involved in a thing called Ball Street, and we did a predictor to who we thought would go through the groups, and I'm sure lots of other people have done this. And we thought that the semi-finals would line up Brazil versus Germany, Spain versus Argentina, which are the top four sides, and then a Brazil-Argentina final.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Because, surely Argentina and Brazil will win their groups. Mm. Mm. Yes, there's a small matter of getting past the likes of Spain and Portugal and all the rest of it, but Brazil-Argentina final.
What I really want to see from this World Cup is... I'd love to see Argentina win it, I must say. I'd love to see Messi... You know, do what everyone said. Oh, you've got to win a World Cup that Maradona did to be the best ever, and I would love to see that happen. And then just before the trophy is presented, I'd love to see Zlatan pop up, nick it, and just disappear.
Yeah, with Jimmy Jump.
With Jimmy Jump, indeed.
Flying off, with
Jimmy Jump piggybacking him.
No, and they're both on the back of the Colombian Birdman.
Yeah.
Hey! Well, before we go to Pete's game, can I read you a letter I read in World Soccer? Well, when Saturday comes,
of course you can.
It's about Andy Townsend. A reader to When Saturday Comes wrote this letter. It made me laugh. I hope you guys like it. A previous correspondent has commented on Andy Townsend's inappropriate use of the phrase in and around. During the first 20 minutes of Bishop Stortford versus Northampton Town match, he used the phrase on at least four occasions. The first time he referred to getting men in and around the penalty area, which is reasonable. However, the second time he talked about getting the ball in and around the penalty spot. I wonder if any reader could explain to me how you actually get the ball in the penalty spot. The third time he advocated that the Bishop Stortford side should get blue shirts in and around the goalkeeper. Well, I can understand the efficacy of surrounding the opposing goalkeeper
with blue
shirts.
That is a possible
but
one.
Is it actually within the laws of the game to put blue shirts or any other objects in the goalkeeper? I only watched the first 20 minutes because I felt I ought to do something useful in and around my garden, which I've lacked attention during the recent wet weather. I was also trying to forget about an equally dull match I watched the previous day when my team, Torquay United, exited the cup in a display which made me wonder whether some of the players had spent too much time in and around the nightclubs of Torquay. By a guy called Nick Davis. It's very enjoyable. Nick.
Good work.
Lovely bit of work.
Nicky D. It's time for Pete's game.
Here's my bloody game. I say my game. I have very little to do with it nowadays. Ben Cattle.
Sorry, Pete. Let me just fill in Jim from last week. Mm. I, David Nugent...
Nugented
Marcus's Defoe. He had that it was the answer was Craig Forrest. I had no clue. He piped up with Craig Foster. I nipped in there.
Well, oof.
Timed his run to perfection.
Own, I got an assist. I got an assist.
So I'm on a brace. I'm on a brace.
I was just doing the Raquel May role. In fact, an assist is better.
Right, Ben Cattle came up with this one. Are you smarter than a Sven-year-old Ericsson?
Nice. That's great. Oh, yeah.
I share a name with an American lead actor from the 1972 comedy film Pink Flamingos.
Oh.
Oh.
Stop. No, I haven't got it.
Stop, John Belushi.
No, the footballer.
I know, but...
Oh, OK. Right, yeah.
My middle name is John. The only trophy I ever won was the League Cup. I made a dream move to the club I love for £4.1 million.
Stop. David Hurst.
No.
Good answer.
I played under Sven more than one occasion. On more than one occasion.
Stop. Oh. Darius Vassell?
No. Some of my clubs include Derby County, Hull City, Charlton Athletic and Middlesbrough.
Oh, he's played under Sven more than once. He's played for all those teams as well. Oh, you mean he's played for England under Sven?
No, say those clubs again, sorry, Pete.
Derby County, Hull City, Charlton Athletic and Middlesbrough.
Stop. Paul Konchesky?
No.
Stop. Dean Sturridge?
No. Ronaldinho was sent off for a foul on me in the quarterfinal of a...
Danny Mills.
Mother...
Oh. I thought I'd got it wrong.
Wenger.
I really thought I'd got it wrong.
He did come up with another clue. I played every minute for England in a major tournament. I thought you would have got that from that, so that's why I removed that particular clue. So thank you for that, Ben Cattle.
I wouldn't have got that from that.
No?
I wouldn't have got that.
But I got. I know England's Rose. England's Rose Danny Mills. He's his full name.
There you are. Luke, any correspondence?
Yes, we got the question of the week, as usual. This week the question was, if you were David Moyes, what would you do to get United's season back on track? Loads of people answered by saying, oh yeah, like rejig the midfield around, sign this player, do it. That's not what we're after.
No.
That is not what we're after, okay? Fuck off to Football Weekly.
Yeah. And stay there. No.
Well, just
download both.
Yeah. First answer is a dig at me. That's all. I thought I'd get out of the way. Yeah. I'd sign Alex Bird on Twitter. I'd sign Danny Murphy. Yeah, good one. For those of you who listened longer than one or two shows will know what that's all about. Next tweet is by a guy called Kunle Demuran and says, I'd put a two-footer in on Rio in training, a la Graham Souness.
Ah, yeah.
That could never not work.
No.
That would definitely work.
I wouldn't do it in training, though. I'd just do it in the canteen.
Yeah. Well, he's got a tray full of food. Yeah.
Merked! You're fucking merked!
Yeah, and then when the food goes everywhere, just go to him, clean that up, you're a disgrace. Yeah. Just walk off adjusting your tie.
It would go flying into Kagawa's mouth.
Not again.
Yeah. Pump his stomach. Why haven't we bought one by now?
Smash the emergency glass and get the pumper.
I don't know why we keep putting that glass back in.
Yeah. Siphon it out like petrol.
Sam Wilson says, give Sam Sodgy a call. Hashtag topical.
Hashtag allegedly.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Andrew P. threw to Twitter with quite a sort of cryptic one. Buy a football machine? ?
Football machine.
I like that one.
Like a police machine.
Who are also a football machine.
Yeah. Yeah. Connor Davis on Facebook says, I'd organise the public execution of Sir Alex Ferguson to show them who is truly boss. And then Michael Davis replied by saying, then eat his heart to gain his powers.
Like a short trial.
This is more like it.
Yeah.
Good.
And Tom Byford on the Facebook with the penultimate one. Get Fergie to bring in a dog and play with the photocopier. It's a morale boost for everyone. He's not going to call ahead. And this last one I like because it's not really an answer. It's not really any... It's not going to help matters, but it's more like the drunken sort of ramblings of a madman. By Chris Taylor, who says, I'd create a Fergie scarecrow by giving Sir Alex four bottles of finest red wine and tying him to a rake. I don't know what you mean by that.
A rake?
Yeah.
They can't stand up.
He's going for a garden implement of some description. Okay. Yeah, I don't really
a whore, perhaps.
Mate, that's not that's the not least the of the problem with that.
That's the least of his worries. Well, there you are. That's wonderful stuff.
That's I think football that's... solved for another week.
If Moyes is listening. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for listening. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble. And the website is thefootballramble.com with wonderful updates from the lovely Kelly.
Yes.
So do make sure you check them out.
Check them
some,
out.
There's some beauties, and she's been murking us.
Has she?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know about that.
I think you got murked today, maybe, Luke.
Let's sack her, then.
Yeah. No.
All right. So I got the authority.
Pete, Absolute Radio.
Yes, Absolute Radio. Work for them.
Yeah.
Good, correct. Oh, the football. Right, okay.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, the match is going to be Newcastle United versus Southampton from 3 o'clock on 12:15 a.m. on your mobile and online at absoluteradio.co.uk. Live Barclays Premier League commentary match coming your way from 3, yeah?
I don't like it when you look at me when you do that. It makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. I like
it. Writing story on from 5.
Yeah.
Terrified of your radio voice.
Yeah. Oh, we're all working with Ian Wright these days. Marcus does Ian Wright stuff as well.
I found, in the Absolute Radio post room, I found a Thomas the Tank Engine with Ian Wright's face on it.
Terrifying.
It's horrible,
I saw the picture of that. Yeah, I'd like to be there when he sees it.
But it's been there for months, and I've walked past it every single day when I've worked when I've gone to work, and I've never noticed that that's Ian Wright's face.
Do you think they've sent it to him because it's Tommy Tanker, wanker? That's a slang for a wanker, isn't it?
I don't reckon. It would be really...
Oh, yeah, because it's such an obvious gift.
It would be a long job.
Not an obvious gag.
To somehow find a three-dimensional model of Ian Wright's face, then 3D print it, stick it on the front of a Thomas the Tank Engine toy, and then send it in.
Well, could it be Ringo?
That would be playing the long game.
What? Could it be Ringo?
Why would it be Ringo?
Because he used to do the voiceover for Thomas the Tank Engine.
Well, that's all right. Yeah, that's
mate,
correct.
If it was Ringo, it wouldn't have Ian Wright's face on it, would it?
It's as good a suggestion as any.
Here
Jim,
you go, Ian. Wrap your face
Jim,
on the train.
Any suggestions?
Look, speaking of Ringo, mate, wrap it up.
Right, say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Oh, fuck yourself.
And goodbye, Jim.
And goodbye.
This episode of Football Ramble is supported by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. Squarespace offers free domain names, all the style options you need to create a unique website for you or your business, as well as 24/7 support. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, go to squarespace.com/footballramble and simply enter offer code RAMBLE11.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.